It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
This is the Winning Plays Podcast on the CLNS Media Network, the leading online provider for the NBA's winningest franchise.
All right, Winning Plays Podcast, back yet again in what was supposed to be the calm before the storm of NBA training camp, but no, that is not happening. We are not going to go into the season quietly. Suichi Tirada of Mass Live. We are coming in with a blockbuster. Damian Lillard going to Milwaukee. Miami coming up empty-handed, and now one more star readily available on the market in Drew Holiday right there. For, I guess, first off, what's your reaction to this sequence of events here that the Bucks kind of come out of the woodwork and then and steal Lillard from the Heat and a bunch of other interested parties?
Yeah, well, first and foremost, B-Rob, I would much rather take a blockbuster NBA trade. My jaw dropped personally, but I would much rather take that the Wednesday before training camp compared to last year. Which I believe was what, like the 11 p.m. Eastern time kind of deal. I was in Arizona, I think. So I was a few hours ahead, but I was like, oh, okay, I guess we're doing this email thing now.
Much better subject matter to talk about than illegal, than not illegal, inappropriate workplace conduct.
Yes. Very, very happy that we're talking basketball instead of anything else right now. On less than a week before training camp. Yeah, but like I said, B-Rob, I don't know. My jaw dropped. I feel like pretty much all indications was that it wasn't going to be Miami. I know Celtics fans were a little bit worried, but it seemed like one of those deals where the Trailblazers didn't really want to trade with Miami and everything. The Raptors seemed like a good team, but the Bucks, man, I don't know. Like, that's crazy to me. Like I said, my jaw dropped in the sense of like just trying to fit all the pieces in together. I mean, the Drew Holiday, I know we're going to get into it, but just you lose a piece like Drew Holiday, he's so important, but then you add a Damian Lillard, right? And yeah. I thought, and I'm sure we'll get into it a little bit more, and I want to hear your thoughts, B-Rob, but just I'm so curious to see how the Bucks will look, right? Like, they'll have a first-year head coach. Like, Dame, obviously, right? Amazing player, all-world player, superstar. I thought, you know, especially when with the injuries with Chris Middleton and everything like that, like the Bucks didn't really have a great number two option, scoring options, because Drew can be that guy, but he can't be that guy night in and night out. Whereas now you have a number one option in Dame, and maybe a lot more of the scoring burden won't have to come from Giannis and everything. So, but you look at it defensively, and you lose a guy like Drew, you know, you think of a Celtics Bucks playoff matchup, and like, who's going to guard Jason and Jalen, right? Like, you no longer have a Drew Holiday type. So
Pat Connaughton had it.
Right. Lockdown. You don't even have a Grayson Allen anymore, right? Yeah.
Malik Beasley, Jay Crowder. They've got, yeah, no, it's no, you know, it's like they're betting, they're making the big bet on offense over defense. Mm-hmm. And I mean, obviously, there's still plenty of time for them to adjust the roster as they go here, but their assets are pretty sharply depleted here. I don't even know if they have any future first left to move, period. And player wise, yeah, you're like, who's going to stop a Lillard Giannis pick and roll? Like, I don't know, but also who is going to stop, like I said, who's going to stop Tatum Brown or anyone else in the East on the perimeter. And so it is like, it's a fascinating, you understand why the Bucks did it. Mm-hmm. Since Holiday as like a number two is clearly like, wasn't good enough for them offensively the last couple years with Milton not being himself. But now, they're going to be stretched to the brink on defense, but it might not matter if they're outscoring teams, if they're scoring 120 points per game.
Yeah, and I just, one big concern I did have with Dame is just he's 33 years old, and he's had durability injury concerns the past few years. And I'm just a little bit concerned about how he's going to hold up throughout the season. Obviously, the Bucks can do what the Celtics have done with a Malcolm Brogdon and Al Horford and Rob and you know what they will do this season. But it's just that's all, you know, that's an old guy. I'm just a little bit, I guess my big concern is how he's going to look in, you know, the East Finals and beyond, right? Like, that's a very long season, and it's just not guaranteed that this 33-year-old guy is going to be able to hold up. So that's just, I have a lot of questions, you know, obviously, right? Like, Giannis was kind of hinting that he might leave. So I totally respect the Bucks front office for swinging for the fences and doing what they did. And like you said, like, they only had so many assets to give out or to trade, and they're pretty much depleted now. So, but in terms of, you know, how all the pieces fit, this should be fun, though, B-Rob. Like, November is I forgot the exact date, November 22nd or whatever, first Celtics-Bucks games of the season in Boston, the first of four, and that should be a lot of fun. I'm just, we'll see how it all works out. Like, I'm super excited, though. Like, basketball season is right around the corner. Like, we're about to flip into October. Like, this should be a lot of fun.
No, I mean, it's going to be a straight-up arms race coming up here, because when you have the Bucks making this type of chess move to start the year, then every team, including the Celtics, have to take a hard look at themselves and be like, okay, we like our team. Do we love our team? Do we think we like match up well enough against these teams to like to get over the hump here? And with all these teams being very much now in the win now window, like the pressure is on. Like, there's no, you can't say, you know, you can't plan on a year here and there. The Celtics have obviously seen opportunities slip away, great opportunities slip away the last couple of years. And now the road on paper looks tougher. And that's something that we weren't necessarily the case like a week ago now. So that's going to cause all these teams to look at themselves. And I do honestly, like, we'll spend plenty of time on other stuff, but I think the pertinent stuff now for the Celtics and the rest of the East is this Jrue Holiday situation, which I think is really worth diving into, since the whole world knows that he's available after the Blazers picked him up. They're going to keep DeAndre Ayton, it sounds like, a younger guy, a guy that they, I don't even know. I mean, we can talk about the Blazers later, but this is like, it's kind of, they did weird stuff here. I'm not exactly sure what to make of it, but they obviously are going to try to turn Drew into a lot more stuff for them. Mm-hmm. And the Celtics are one of several interested parties there. What say you about just in general, like the going for Jrue Holiday versus the cost of acquisition here for the Celtics in this said scenario?
Yeah, I mean, Biro, we did a great job on Mass Live this morning, just kind of breaking down the numbers, the contract number, right? Like, everyone wants to throw Malcolm Brogdon and some picks into a trade, but that's not how salaries work in the NBA, salary cap and all that good stuff. So, yeah, I mean, I thought you did a pretty good job of laying it out in terms of, like, this doesn't really make sense, it seems. Like, you're going to have to include a Malcolm plus a Rob, which just, I feel like that's a non-starter for the Celtics and who they are. I do wonder if the Celtics offseason looks very different if the Dame trade happened, say, around the draft or so. And then, you know, like, do you let a guy like Grant and Marcus walk, right? Like, especially because you're going to want more defensive juice. You look at a Porzingis type end, right? If the Celtics play a little bit more drop coverage, playing against a Dame Giannis pick and roll isn't exactly ideal, right?
Yeah.
A lot of Steph Curry in the 2022 NBA Finals kind of shades of that a little bit. So, but it just seems like Drew, with his age, like, I believe he's also 33, like, he doesn't really necessarily fit the Celtics core. And it's just one of those things. Like, I understand, you know, the Celtics should do their due diligence and everything, but it just doesn't seem like it's going to make much sense, especially if they're going to get into a bidding war with other contenders. And that's kind of what you laid out, B-Rob, I thought, on Mass Live earlier today.
All right, let's take a break to hear from our sponsor, FanDuel. Snap into the action this NFL season with FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Right now, new customers get $200 in bonus bets guaranteed when you place a $5 bet. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. If you've been thinking about joining FanDuel, there's no better time to get in on the action. The app is easy to use. There's a wide range of betting options, including spreads, player props, over-unders, and much more. So visit FanDuel.com/Boston and kick off the NFL season. FanDuel, the official partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in Massachusetts. Hope is here. First online, real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 1-800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play smarts from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234. Yeah, it's because it is. It's like, this is a guy that they wanted years ago, and the Bucks got him, and the Bucks won a title with him. So it's like, okay, yeah, like that's like, it's kind of crazy that that's happened already, and then they've already flipped him again. And it's like, that's like the life cycle of the NBA here, where it's like, okay, like, you know, you're not set for life here after you win the title, even like whatever it was 3 years ago. Like, nope, we need to get better here again, and we're going to use you to do it.
I mean, this guy was like, I want to retire Buck.
Yeah, right. No, what was this quote? Was that like last month that he was talking?
No, about? I thought it was literally, yes, like 2 days ago.
Dude, oh, my God.
It probably wasn't 2 days ago, the interview, but it was very recently.
Right.
Which is just, I mean, at the same time, though, right? Like, when we heard about the Kristaps Porzingis deal, initially, we thought Malcolm Brogdon was gone, which felt very natural. And then close to midnight, Marcus Smart is gone, right? So it's just, that's just how the league goes, unbelievably sometimes.
And so, like, from that standpoint, like, you can make a case for it from, like, okay, a closing lineup of, like, Jrue Holiday, Derek White, Brown, Tatum, and whatever bigs left, Porzingis or, you know, Horford. Like, that's pretty damn good. Like, that's probably the best closing five in the NBA. Like, you know, top to bottom. Pretty easily there. Is it the perfect one? Like, not necessarily, but it, like, that covers all your bases. With that said, your depth in the front court, it's just, I think for me, it's like the whole depth thing, like in the front court of like, you let Grant walk. So now you have Porzingis, who is reportedly, you know, good to go for camp here. Al and Rob, and that's it. So you can take one of those guys out of the equation, period, and you go down to Luke Kornet on the depth chart chain. Like, that puts you in a pretty vulnerable spot if just one of those guys gets hurt, which is almost a guarantee to happen this year for, like, given their track record there. So then it's like, well, is Holiday that much better to, like, to mitigate that risk? Or, like, are you going to be okay if one of those guys going down? Are you have enough left over to go get someone who can fill that spot with that, you know, the Grant TP? Like, that's, to me, that's like, maybe they can, maybe they have something up their sleeve where they can pull off that kind of a deal, Switchy. But, like, on the surface, I think that's might be too much to try to pull off here, especially against what other teams are bidding.
Yeah, and I think that's the biggest thing too, is that Brad Stevens has obviously not been shy to trade away his first round picks, but I thought that's looking at it in the more short term, in terms of, like, right, trading next year's pick or the past few years and everything. But, like, they've kept the cupboard pretty stocked up besides that pick swap with the Spurs, and then you kind of look at it and just like, okay. It just seems like they're going to do their due diligence, but it's not necessarily going to be something that they push their chips all in for. And I think personally, B-Rob, like, that's a smart thing to do. Like, you've already made your gamble this offseason on Kristaps. Like, obviously the Dame trade to the Bucks changes things, but I think you look at this roster and you're like, okay, well, we've already made our big swing. Like, that's okay. Like, it's okay to kind of stand pat, especially if the Jrue Holiday situation doesn't make sense. So I think you just look at it and you feel okay with where this roster is at. As you said, the injury concerns are very big. I just think depth is too big of an issue, especially over the long regular season. Going, you know, the playoffs are long. Playoffs are long, man. They're 2 months long. That's why I'm kind of concerned with the Dame situation, in terms of, like, will he be able to hold up? Like, will the Celtics be able to hold up? So just taking away from that depth is not necessarily, I think, the move. And I think that's kind of where we're at, right? And that's just how it is. Like I said, maybe they try to hold on to Marcus a little bit more, knowing that Dame is going to be in Milwaukee, but that's the past, and you just kind of have to live with it now.
Yeah, it's, I mean, that will be talked about plenty if the Celtics get torched by Dame in the Eastern Conference semifinals or finals. Like, that is going to be a column that will be written many a time. But it is, it's like, to your point, though, with, like, the Rob, like, yeah, if they took their big string of Porzingis, was that maybe too early? We'll see. But there is something to be said now for kind of seeing what it looks like before making any other meaningful changes here. And I do think the Celtics still have a swing to make. In my mind, they only have one real big swing left to take, and that's with Brogdon's, like, contract. I mean, maybe Brogdon comes to camp and he plays great and everything, like, the chemistry is great and everything's fine. Like, yeah, like, that's totally possible that they, you know, ride it out if this group has something special going on and he's fitting in there. But if not, if you want to say, okay, where do we need our next best upgrade to roster to create that, you know, perfect mm-hmm. lineup to go up against Dame and Giannis or Miami if they add another star here, like that's, you have to be able to do that. And if you bet on Drew now, then you literally take away that option for the rest mm-hmm. of the season here. And that is something I think they need to, like, the organization, I feel like, will probably be looking at very closely here, being like, okay, if we're going to spend this trade capital, is this like the right guy to do it on, or is mm-hmm. there going to be a better fit potentially that might become available in December or at the trade deadline or whenever?
Yeah. And I think that's just a luxury that the Celtics have in that it's a long season. Trade deadline's not until February, right? That's still 5 months away. So it's a great idea, I think, just to be patient and see what you've got. And my big thing too is, like, you look at it, right? The Celtics and Bucks look like the two favorites coming out of these. Both teams at this point have a lot of question marks. Not anything to be like, are they even going to be title contenders? Obviously, they probably will be, but it's just to see how it all fits out. And I think just taking the patient approach is smart because, you know, you never know, right? Like, people are, I would love to see a Celtics Bucks East Finals and everything. Milwaukee in May is much nicer than in Christmas, for example. But it's just one of those things where you just don't know. The Bucks lost in the first round last year. The Celtics looked like they had an easy path to the finals. That wasn't the case. So it just seems like, as of right now, like you said, the Malcolm situation is kind of the most volatile one on the Celtics right now, but we don't know about that, right? Like, obviously the vibes could be terrible at the end of training camp and it could be very obvious that a trade is needed, but that's not set in stone. Like, training camp starts next week and then you have we're a little less than a month away from the start of the season. So at this point though, I think you kind of just look at your options and see how the roster battle takes out. Maybe a Lamar Stevens or somebody surprises you a little bit. And I think you can kind of go from there.
Yeah. Be some fun end of roster battles during camp here that we'll get to be watching in a couple of weeks. And the other one thing with Drew too, that I think was worth for us discussing, is like, he's got 1 year left in his deal. Like, he's going to opt out. He's going to want a new big contract at age 34. And the Celtics, A, may not be able to afford that. B, may not want to pay that regardless. And so are you willing to just give up that much for 1 year of a guy? Like, and be willing to, which a case can be made for that. Be like, okay, push in all your chips. Yeah. Like, make a team that is impossible to stop and then deal with the ramifications later. But then if that doesn't work, then you're in a really, really rough spot next summer.
Yeah, and I don't know, B-Rob. I kind of thought, maybe not like, obviously Drew trade would be all in, but it felt kind of like last year for the Celtics, they had a kind of, in like a very ideal situation in terms of like pushing all your chips in, especially with the new CBA and everything. Like, they had a guy like Malcolm Brogdon being a sixth man, right? Like, you had a Derek White who wasn't even necessarily, like, he played all 82 games, but there were times when he wasn't even necessarily a starter. Like, that kind of felt to me like the team where you didn't necessarily go all in because you're not dealing with like picks and like kind of paying it forward and everything like that. But that felt like a all in situation in the sense of this, it wasn't going to get to be a much better situation, it felt like. And so I think that with, it just seems like, a Drew Holiday trade, though, you would have to pay it forward a few years later. It's kind of like the NFL where you just kind of kick the can down the road with a salary cap and restructure salaries and everything. Like, the Celtics don't necessarily have that going forward, so I don't think they necessarily need to do that, just because I think the number one thing with the Celtics right now is that this feels sustainable in the sense of, like, you have Jaylen locked up, you're going to lock up Jason, and obviously you're going to have to be savvy, you're going to have to hope like a Jordan Walsh or someone hits eventually down the line some cheap production, but this still feels sustainable. Whereas with the Bucks, right, like, Dame is 33. Yeah, sure, Giannis might not necessarily leave anytime soon, but Brooke Lopez is getting up there in age, Chris Middleton is getting up there in age. Like, it doesn't change the fact that they have a very stagnant roster, whereas the Celtics, you know, they're in a good spot in terms of like the front office has done a, in my opinion, a great job in terms of keeping this, as I said, a sustainable product as of now.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
No, it's a really good point. Like, Danny, like this for the Bucks, this could be a 1 or 2 year spell. Like, if things don't, like, this doesn't work there, like, they could just blow it up next summer and be like, let's take, if Giannis is going to leave, like, let's get all we can for him now. Who wants Dame? Like, Brooke Lopez, you're old too. Like, we don't want to pay you all that money. Let's, like, you know, like, that's, again, that's extreme. Like, I don't expect that to happen. Like, they could obviously win all, but, like, there is a very real downside in Milwaukee here and there. Again, they kind of foresaw that probably coming anyway, so they're trying to make this trade to, you know, fight back against it and at least give, you know, something for Giannis to hold on to. Maybe they, even if they start out strong, like, hey, Giannis, this looks pretty good. You want to sign this thing now? Like, what do you think? but it seems like he's probably just going to keep the pressure on and knows that all these guys are in their 30s. And, like, even, like, Chris Middleton, like, what is – he didn't look like anywhere close to himself last year. So he's probably like the biggest X factor in all this now. He gets to be the third option, but like if he's not right, then it's like, okay, like that's defendable.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, like the big thing with Dame, I thought with trading him was that like he could make $63 million in 2026-27 at age, what, 36, right? Like Dame is awesome. I've been a Dame, you know, I've enjoyed watching Dame for a long time. And I got a few friends being like, us Dame fans, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, yeah, man, Dame's great. But look, like he's getting up there in age. You just don't know what the Bucks are going to look like. And conversely, you don't know what Giannis is going to look like. I feel like that's the kind of the biggest question mark right now. So, but, you know, we'll see. I'm excited for this season, though, B-Rob. You know, we've got the Celtics week ahead, media availability and everything. And I'm sure we're going to get into, you know, kind of the thick of it very soon here. I'm enjoying the last few days of the off season. But this should be fun, man. I'm really looking forward to it.
It really should. It's plenty of meat on the bone to start this training camp here next week. And whether it's the holiday situation or just camp itself, plenty of storylines here. We'll be on top of it all at Mass Live between Sweetchi and myself starting on Media Day on Monday. So check us out there. Check Sweetchi out on Twitter or X, if you will, at Suichi Soichi Tirada. If you're not already, you should be. And yeah, that's it, guys. We'll obviously be on top of these roster moves in the weeks to come, in the days to come here. If anything breaks, we'll be on it. And in the meantime, we'll see you guys at camp next week.